Since we have a stranger in our midst, it's only nice, I think, that we not only make him feel welcome, but maybe introduce him a little bit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, just a little bit to let you know. Tony came up to speak at Carlisle to see about moving to work with the church, and we had the opportunity to hear him at that time. And then we've heard him a time or two since then in his preaching. We've been quite impressed with his devotion to God, his devotion to truth, and his desire to serve as best that he can. And so I'm very happy that we've worked out an arrangement for the preachers to swap around so that we can get a chance as a congregation to be exposed to Tony, and of course that can be exposed to Carlisle to Doug. Tony has a unique lesson he wants to bring this morning. It's going to be similar to what Doug did when he first came. I think it'll be interesting to make the comparison between the two. But we are looking forward to some great working together. He meets with us once a month at the building where the preachers and elders and other men get together. And it's been a great time. And he's going to contribute greatly to not only to that meeting, but also to, I hope, the church in this general area as well. Tony?
Thank you, Paul. Well, it certainly is a blessing to be here with you this morning. And I want to begin by thanking the elders here, the Camp Hill Church of Christ, for the invitation to come and be a part of this pulpit swap. When Doug Hamilton asked me about a month ago if we could do something like that, I told him that would be wonderful, and I mentioned it to our elders at Carlisle, and they agreed upon that, and so I've been excited about it. And last Sunday, I told the Carlisle Church of Christ about the pulpit swap, how Doug is going to be coming here. He's a good man and knows the Bible, and I'm sure everyone there is looking forward to hearing Doug. And I told them, I said, now, next time, we're going to do a membership swap. They kind of laughed about that. Of course, I told them, well, I'm just kidding about that. But Doug asked me if I would share some things about the Carlisle Church of Christ. Before I do, I also want to mention I'm here with my wife, Tricky. That's her real name. And my youngest daughter, Toni. And we have five daughters, and my youngest daughter, Toni, had just graduated from Fried Hardeman University, and I'm thankful that they're here with me as well. But as I said, Doug asked me if I would just take about 5 minutes and share with you some things that are going on at the Carlisle Church of Christ, and he was going to be doing the same over there, what's taking place here at Camp Hill. So perhaps, just like you, we have Bible classes for all ages, so when we have visitors to come to the services, whatever age they are, we try to reach out to everyone in the family. And we also have a ladies' Bible class on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's a men's prayer breakfast that we have once a month, and that is always a real blessing. And also, we have, we call it a Love Your Neighbor campaign. Once a month, we meet at one of the neighborhoods, one of our members, and we have a prayer, and then we pass out literature to the community, to the neighborhood where they live. And that's always been a real blessing. And this month, June 19th through the 23rd, we're having a vacation Bible school. Our vacation Bible school this year is going to be on Paul's missionary journeys. And I believe they're going to be having an 18-foot boat up there near the pulpit. And we're going to have, of course, a meal for everyone before we have the vacation Bible school. There'll be adult classes every evening as well. It's at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's a Sunday through a Thursday. But we'd like to invite you to come to our vacation Bible school if you can. Of course, we have our teens always have youth activities. Our seniors, a number of times every month, get together for outings. And I'm busy with Bible studies. I was talking with Paul before, and he was sharing with me work that he had done in the past, and he had a lot of Bible studies going on, and that's always important. because that's where the conversions come. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to have a number of Bible studies going on right now. And I try to get out at least once a month with our elders to go out and visit, and other members as well. So we have a lot of things going on. The church, I moved there about 11 months ago from Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. And so I'm really new into the area of Carlisle. The Carlisle Church of Christ is a wonderful congregation. We have wonderful elders and their family and good members, and they support me and my family very much, and we're thankful to be there in this area. And I appreciate the Camp Hill Church of Christ and the works that are going on here. I appreciate the meetings that you have once a month for the leaders and preachers in the area. I always look forward to that, and I'm thankful that you are here in this location. You know, I'm going to share with you something that's going to be a little bit different. I normally would have a sermon that I would present, and I do have a lesson that is going to be different, where I thought perhaps the best thing to do is share with you my conversion and how I came to learn the truth, my search for the truth. And let me say in the outset of this particular lesson that if there is anyone here that's visiting and you're of the Catholic faith, I certainly don't want to offend anybody. I'm just going to share with you how I became a Christian. And I think this could be of help to everyone here. I was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's not too far from here. It's about 2 hours away. For the first 23 years of my life, I grew up Catholic. Now, as far back as I can remember, when I was a little boy, going through the catechism classes in the Catholic Church, it was there where I learned the different doctrines and teachings about the Catholic Church. And when I can remember, when I was just a young boy, 5, 6, 7 years old, I remember when the priest and the nuns would tell us children that if you have any questions about God or about Jesus or about the Bible or anything religiously, just ask us and we'll tell you everything that you need to know. So I just figured somehow or another, God just directly revealed his will to the priest and the nuns, and then they would tell us children what it's all about. They would also tell us, now this is what I was told, that the Bible is a hard book to understand, and it will confuse your thinking and mess your mind up, so don't read it. They discouraged me from reading the Bible. And so I never really read the Bible. There were times I would hear preachers on the radio or television, and they would be preaching from the Bible, and they would be saying now in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, 1 John 5 verse 19, and all these names and numbers. I didn't realize that they were actually preaching from the Bible. I thought that was something else. That's how ignorant I was of God's Word. But of course, because I never read the Bible, I really never believed it. Now, something else that became a big factor in my life, when I was a young boy, I was very interested in music. Music became a big factor. I used to tap on the desks at school because I wanted to play drums. So I kept asking my parents to let me take drum lessons. So I finally did, and I went through a number of different books, learned all the different rudiments of drumming, and of course, I got into the school band and got my first drum set and kept practicing and practicing. I then got into some local bands and groups. We started to travel and play around the area. And when I was about to graduate from high school, my dream, what I wanted to do in my life, was to make it big time playing music. I wanted to see my name in lights and become a rock star. So anyway, I was playing at a club. It was in Reading at the time. And there was a group that came up to me. They said they liked the way I played, and they asked me if I could join them and start to travel on the road. So I did this. I was 17. I had just graduated from high school, and I got into this band, and we began to travel all over the northeast part of the country here, the New England states, and different places. I did this for about 7 years. I played every night. We'd play at one club for about 6 nights. We'd pack up and move to another club and play there for a week or 2 weeks. And so I really got to see what life was like living out of a suitcase. You know, I noticed as I was playing over the years that most of the people I was playing for really weren't too happy. There was something missing in their lives. They were just kind of going through the motions. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I knew that there had to be more to life than this. And so it was the young people, the people my age in their early 20s and their late teens, all they really wanted to do was just party and get high and pick up someone for the night. Older people, it was the same thing. They just wanted to drink and be entertained. But I knew that there had to be something else. And so these questions continued to bother me. I really didn't know where to turn. I remember one time I was talking with someone in a club, and they said to me, well, when I have some questions and I'm confused about some things, I'll open up the Bible. And I'll read, and many times my questions are answered by the Bible. Well, I thought to myself, you know, I never tried that. I guess it couldn't hurt to do that. And so one day I was playing, we were playing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the time. We were playing at a club, and in the motel room, there was a Bible there. So I got a Bible out, and I basically just asked God, help me understand what I read. Because I had grown up thinking you cannot understand the Bible. So I just said to God, I mean, I've always believed in God, believed in Jesus. And it was at this point in my life where I sort of was drifting away from the Catholic Church. I had no intentions on leaving the Catholic Church. And at this point in my life, I never heard of the Church of Christ. But I basically asked God, please help me understand what your word is. And if I can understand what it says, I'll try to put it into practice and do what it says. So I remember I opened up the scriptures, and I basically just opened it to 1 John. And I began to read about how much God loves me and how much he cares for me and wants me to love and care and serve other people. And as I read that, I thought to myself, you know, that's not hard to understand. Here, you thought you couldn't understand the Bible, but that's easy to understand. I could at least try to do that. And then I would read a little bit more, and I would read about how sick and in sin and messed up this world was in. And of course, I was seeing that all around me firsthand in these clubs. And so I started to realize that everything I am reading here is relevant and applies to my life. And so I got fascinated, and I got kind of drawn into reading. I was very interested. I didn't realize it at the time, but now looking back upon that, I could see what was happening. So I started to read the Bible every day. Now we would play every night, like I said, we'd play from 10 o'clock at night to about 2 o'clock in the morning. We would play for 40 minutes and take a 20-minute break, and then play another 40 minutes, another 20-minute break. And during those breaks, I would go off to the dressing room, and I would get the Bible, and I would start to read. And then I'd go back and play, and then come back to the dressing room, and I would continue to read. It took me several months to read through the New Testament. And one of the reasons for that, let me just stop right at this point and mention this about myself. The reason why is because growing up, when I was in, in first grade, the teacher noticed that I could not really see the blackboard like the other children. So they sent me down to the school nurse and had me read the chart. And when she saw I couldn't see it, they contacted my parents and asked my parents if they would take me to an eye doctor to get some eyeglasses. So they did, and when the eye doctor examined my eyes, he told my parents, if he has what I think it is, this is pretty serious. So they sent me to Will's Eye Hospital in Philadelphia. And these two surgeons that examined my eyes said to my parents, he has a detached retina in his left eye and partially in his right eye. We don't know if he was born with this, but there's a specialist up in Boston who operates on the retina. That was world-renowned. He had operated on Bob Hope and Ella Fitzgerald, and people were coming from Europe and all places all over the world for this particular doctor in Boston. So I went up there when I was 6 years old, and I had an operation. The doctor told my parents that it was a success, that his eyes are stable. They're not expected to get any worse. However, they're not expected to get any better. So my eyes had been 20/200 in my left eye, 20/100 in my right eye, and glasses don't really help my eyes. I do have glasses that kind of magnify the print, so I have a lot of sources, but I have had poor vision all of my life. And growing up in school, I guess, children with handicaps, I was partially in a sight-saving class, and it seems like children with handicaps sometimes and it can be made fun of. Unfortunately, the other children will pick on those with handicaps, and so I really grew up with an inferiority complex. I was a very shy fellow, and it seemed like the drums was the one thing that I could do, that I kind of latched onto. And so when I got into playing music, this was a real serious thing in my life. When I was on the road playing for 7 years, I was very serious about it. I was with one band there on the road, and then I got frustrated because some of those musicians were not as dedicated or as serious with it as I was, and so I quit that band and got into another. During that period of 7 years, I was probably in about 20 or 30 different bands. And we played all kinds of music, country, rock, blues, jazz, you name it. We played everything. And as I continued to practice and practice, I was getting a lot better on the drums. And at this period of my life, I was, you know, starting to read the scriptures. And so when I had finished reading through the New Testament, when I was playing, I knew that God was telling me through his word, "Tony, I want all of your life completely. You turn it all over to me. Give me your heart. Give me your life. Give me your drums, you know, and I'll bless you and use you and take care of you." And the other thing that I realized that God was telling me through his word was that whatever you believe and whatever you practice when it comes to religion, you must trust my word as the final authority. Now, that was a hard lesson for me to learn because I had grown up where there were so many church traditions and man-made doctrines. And as I continued to read, I started to have a lot of questions about the things I was reading. And so I knew that I had to make a decision, because it was very difficult for me to grow strong spiritually in the environment that I was in, because it was just a big party. That's all everybody wanted to do when I was playing. And it just seemed like the more I kept reading, God was pulling me in another direction. Now, it was probably the hardest decision I ever had to make in my life, because I was finally starting to make it, I guess you could say, big time from a worldly perspective. I was in a band, and we had an agent out of Philadelphia. We were playing concerts. We had people setting up our equipment. We had to wear all kinds of outfits and uniforms and things. And we had an agent. I said that all I needed to do was sign my name on a contract, and we were going to record an album. And today it would be CDs, but back in the early 70s, it was albums and 245s. And I had an opportunity to play backup for Stevie Wonder. So I was finally starting to make it big time. I was probably making about $500, $600, $700, $800 a week, room and board paid for and everything. I was single at the time. So from a worldly perspective, I guess you could say that was a success. But I knew that I could not grow stronger spiritually. And every time I kept reading God's word, as I said, it seemed like God was pulling me in another direction. Have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden maybe verses sort of jump out and really hit you? That's what was happening to me. I would read places where, for example, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even now weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things." And I started to realize that all of my time and my energy in my life has been involved with earthly things. And Paul says those who mind earthly things, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, I didn't want to be an enemy to Jesus. I wanted to learn his will. And I would continue to read, and I would read where the Lord, he speaks to me, and he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things are not from the Father, but these things are of the world. And this world is going to pass away, and all the lust along with it. But whoever does the will of God is going to live forever." And I thought to myself, man, that's what I want. And so I was getting under serious conviction. And as I said, it was probably the hardest decision that I had to make. But I quit the band I was in. And those guys thought I was crazy, that I went off the deep end. My parents didn't understand. They thought, how could you do this? How could you throw your whole life away? What are you doing? But I just could not continue to stay in that kind of environment. In fact, I remember one time my parents came down to see me play. I think it was in Wildwood, New Jersey at the time. We were playing in one of the clubs down there, and they came down to hear us play, and, you know, the dim lights and smoke and filled room, and everybody's dancing and drinking and getting drunk. And I said to my parents, I said, do you see this? I don't want to entertain these people so they could just go on to hell. I don't want this anymore. I want to do something different with my life. So I quit that band, like I said. I came back to my hometown, Bethlehem. Now, up to this point, I never heard of the Church of Christ. But I was searching for the truth. And as I was continuing to read, I had a lot of confusion about the things that I had been taught all my life in the Catholic Church. So I began to write down questions. I had a list of questions. I called up the Catholic priest where I had attended all my life. I asked him if I could have an appointment with him and meet with him. And he gave me the appointment. And that afternoon I went in and I told this priest how I'd been on the road for 7 years playing in a rock group. And I told him how I've been reading the Bible for the past several months. And I have a lot of confusion, and I would like for you to explain where in the Bible we find these things. So I got out my list of questions. I probably had about 7 pages of questions. But I said, okay, for example, the Pope. Where in the Bible is the Pope mentioned? I can't find it. All I read about is Jesus being the head of the church. And I honestly thought that he was going to turn right to the book, chapter, and verse and show me. But he never did. He just talked around my question. Oh, sure, he went to some sources and references and encyclopedias and things to show past popes all the way down to Peter, but he never gave me a thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse. I remember asking this priest, I said, from what my parents told me when I was an infant, I was christened, I was baptized, sprinkled when I was a baby. And I said, I can't find in the Bible where babies are baptized. All I read about is those who are old enough to know and understand what they're doing. And I asked him, show me, where is this found? Babies can be baptized. And he never did. He just kind of talked around my question. I remember telling him, you know, all my life, growing up in elementary school and high school on Fridays, I had to eat either pizza or fish on Fridays because it was a sin to eat meat on Fridays, as far as that church law back in the 60s and 70s. In fact, I even said to him, and right here in the scriptures, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here Paul says how the doctrines of devils are going to command you to abstain from eating meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I probably was showing him more scripture than he was showing me, but I was searching for the truth, and I wanted to know. Like I said, I had all kinds of questions about, you know, where do we come up with holy water and rosary beads and all kinds of things of these church laws and man-made traditions. But of all those questions, he never answered any of them with the Bible. And when I walked out of his office that afternoon, I could still see it so clearly, as if it just happened yesterday. I walked out of there with mixed emotions. I was mad. I was hurt. I was crying. Literally, tears were coming down my face. I had felt that I had been misled, that I had been deceived. And I made up my mind right then. Never again am I going to accept or believe what anybody tells me unless they can show me from the Bible. Because I knew at that point the Bible is right. Now, as I said, I've never heard of the Church of Christ. But this is what led me kind of for my search and away from the Catholic Church. So I decided, okay, I guess I'm going to start looking around for a church that goes by the Bible. I remember I went up to a church that had above the doorway Kingdom Hall, knocked on their door, and no one answered the door that day. And now looking back upon that, I'm glad they didn't, because that would have really confused me. I remember I called up a Baptist preacher on the phone, and I told this preacher, I said, I was baptized when I was an infant, and I don't think I was saved. I don't think I'm forgiven of my sins, and I want to make sure that I'm right with God. And he said to me on the phone, "Well, you caught me at a bad time. I'm just on my way out the door. I'm going to a meeting. I'll try to get back to you in a few weeks." Well, I wasn't about to wait, so I continued to look. I walked down one of the main streets in Bethlehem, and I saw a sign above a rented doctor's office, kind of, and it had "Gospel Meeting. The Church of Christ meets here." I thought, okay, I guess I could find out what these people believe. So I went up and I knocked on the door. The minister opened the door and I introduced myself and I asked him if I could come into the services. He said, "Of course." So I went in. Now, you have to understand, at that time, I mean, I had hit hair way down on my shoulders and I just came off the road in a rock band. But I was really hungry for the word. So I came in to the services, and I noticed right off the start, everybody there had a genuine love for one another and towards me. And I remembered how Jesus said, "By this shall all men know my disciples, if you have love one to another." And that impressed me. And so the preacher got up, and his sermon was entitled, "What Must I Do to Be Saved?" And everything he said, he backed it up with book, chapter, and verse. Well, that really impressed me. So after the service was over, they had a tract rack in the back of their auditorium, their foyer. And I remember I went up to that tract rack and I took one of each pamphlet I found there. I went home that night. I stayed up half the night reading through all these pamphlets and tracts. And I was reading how one of the pamphlets made an illustration. It said, if you were at a county fair or a carnival and you lost your son or your daughter and you wanted to find them, you'd go up to the police or those in authority and you'd ask them, "Please help me find my daughter or my son." They would begin to ask you questions. What's their name? What color hair? What were they wearing? What was the last place you saw them? What color eyes do they have? How tall are they? How old are they? So when they begin to look for your son or your daughter, they would rule out those who do not follow those identifying descriptions. The tract made the point that if you want to find the church that Jesus built, the church that we read about in the New Testament among hundreds and hundreds of churches today, then you want to find the church that goes by all these identifying marks that we read about right here in God's Word. In other words, if we believe what they believed in the Bible, if we preach what they preached in the Bible, if we worship the way they worshiped in the Bible, then we can be what they were, Christians. Nothing more, nothing less. And I remember these pamphlets were saying that we speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. That we want to do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. And all of this impressed me. I said, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. So I went back the next night. And once again, the preacher preached on salvation. And everything he said, he backed it up with the scriptures. So after the service was over, I went up to him. And I asked him if we could sit down and talk and study. And we did for several hours. I had all kinds of questions. I remember I talked to him, told him about my drums and how that's been my whole life. And I'll never forget what he said about that. He said, "You know, there's nothing wrong with playing the drums. Not a thing wrong with doing that. But sometimes it's what the world is trying to do with your drums and where you play. That's where the problem is." And of course, I knew that all too well. But it was 1 o'clock in the morning on August 16th, 1975, where I was baptized into Christ. And I am so thankful that I had an opportunity to hear the truth, to understand it, and to obey it. You know, I knew that there was going to be a lot of obstacles that I was going to have the next day. Temptations and all kinds of things to sort of sidetrack me. I knew that I was going to have that the next day, the next week, whenever. But I also knew that there's no way I'm going to lay my head down tonight knowing what I need to do to become a Christian, to have the forgiveness of my sins and not do it. And so I was baptized into Christ that evening, you know. I remember about these obstacles. I thought about them quite a bit. Because I don't know how many people have told me about obstacles and things that they're dealing with. But, you know, I wasn't going to let that stop me. And I am so thankful I had that opportunity to hear it and obey it. And I don't know how many people there are in that community, just like here at Camp Hill, that really don't know the truth. They may have heard false things about Jesus or the false plans of salvation, but they really don't know the truth. I'm sure there's a lot of people. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26, three times we read about Paul's conversion. God does not put that in here just to take up space for filler. There's a reason, there's a purpose that's in the scriptures. Because God knows the power of the personal testimony if it's done right, if it brings glory to God. And I just want to say to everyone here this morning, you have a story to tell, and you need to go and share that with others. Let them know how God has blessed you. In Mark chapter 5, in verse 19, there was a man that Jesus had healed. He was a demon-possessed man. Jesus healed him. And after he was in his right mind, he said, "Lord, if it's all right with you, I'd just like to kind of stay with you." And Jesus said, "No, you go home to your friends and your family, and you tell them the great things that God has done for you." And I believe that's what God wants us to do. You know, the greatest gift that you could ever give someone is the gospel plan of salvation. Because the Christian life is the best life there is. I've been to a lot of places in this country, and I have never yet met anybody to tell me, "I am so much happier now since I have left the Lord." I've never met anybody to tell me that. But I can't tell you how many people I have met to tell me, "I am so thankful that I'm a Christian, that I got hold of a Bible and God has shown me what I need to do to become a Christian." There's so many people that have been blessed, and I'm thankful. I thought that would be helpful to you this morning to kind of share that with you. And I don't know where you are spiritually speaking this morning. You may be searching for the truth. I would like to just let you know that the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Hey, if you're diligently seeking the Lord, he says he'll reward you. And I believe that's what he did with my life. And I am so thankful to be a Christian. I really wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life after I became a Christian. You know, at first it was kind of difficult for me because my parents were upset with me. And I really wasn't sure how to influence them. So I said, okay, I kind of came off in the wrong way. I sort of approached them right away at the start. I said, "You know, we've been wrong about this." And I realized, hey, that's not going to work. So I realized it's going to take some time. I have to be patient about this. I need to pray for my parents. And I need to set the right example. Where it used to be they would yell at me to cut the grass and take out the trash, now I'm just going to do it without them even asking. And I know at first they thought, "He's just going through a phase. He'll snap out of it." But you know, after about 7-8 months, they started to realize that, you know, he's pretty serious about this. And so they started to ask me questions. And of course, that led to being able to study with them. And they came to a service, to a gospel meeting. It was about 9 months after I became a Christian when my dad obeyed the gospel. And then a few weeks after that, my mother obeyed the gospel. And then the preacher started to encourage me, "Why don't you consider going to a Bible college?" Well, of course, I thought, there's no way. I can't speak. In fact, when I was in 10th grade, I remember in English class, we had to give an oral report before the class. And I said, no way, I'm never going to get up in front of anybody to speak. So I took a zero on that. You know, you better be careful what you say you're never going to do, because the Lord may have some other plans for you. But, you know, like I said, that I was very a shy person, and that drums was the one thing I could do. But God has used me. I went to a Bible college, received a bachelor's degree in the ministry. It was there where I met my wife through some of her brothers that were attending there. And over the time, since I've become a Christian, there's probably at least over 500 people I've been able to lead to Christ. And you know, when I think about it, there was a time where I was so shy and quiet, and I never thought I could be of any use to the Lord. But you got to get out of that comfort zone. You really got to trust Him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, you acknowledge Him. And what does He promise? He says, I'll direct your paths. He says, I'll be with you. There's some passages that I love. You know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. If you love God, hey, it's all going to work out. Maybe not on our time frame, but on His time frame. And I want to go to heaven more than anything. And I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can. I am so thankful to be involved in as a minister and reaching out to seek and save the lost. And if you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel, you have an opportunity. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we read the word of God and listen to it, it's very clear. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, that if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. So if we don't want to die in our sins, we must believe in Jesus. Because if we die in our sins, we're not going to wake up in God's heaven. But not only must we believe in Him, Jesus also said, unless we repent, we're going to perish. And that is to turn away from the practice of sin, whatever it might be. Whether it's in thought or in words or actions, anything that is contrary to His word, we need to stop believing it, practicing it, and get away from it. That's repentance. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. So we must believe in Jesus, repent from our sins. We know that we must confess Jesus is the Son of God. Have you ever made that confession before others? That yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Then Jesus said right before He ascended back to heaven, one of the last things He said to His followers, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you know, the first opportunity the apostles had to proclaim that message was about 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people were there, and it was Peter who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first gospel sermon following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And Peter, as he was coming down to the close of that sermon, he said, I want all you people to know this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter said, you crucified Him. Now, they could not all have done that. Maybe there was some in the crowd that yelled out, crucify Him, crucify Him. But what Peter was saying is, it's your sins is what put Him on the cross. And you know, we could put ourselves in that same audience, really, because our sins is what put Jesus on the cross as well. And so when they heard this, that they crucified Jesus, the Bible says that they were convicted. They were pricked in their hearts. They were cut to the heart. And they cried out to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? And that's when Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it is a blessing to see how over 3,000 were responded that day, gladly received His word, and were baptized. And the Lord added them to the church, His church, the church that we read about in the Bible. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure where you are, spiritually speaking, to become a Christian, you must hear the message, believe in Jesus, repent from your sins, confess Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized. And Bible baptism, it's not a sprinkling or pouring of the water. Bible baptism is by immersion. It's for the forgiveness of our sins. So if you haven't done that, you have that opportunity right now. And then as a Christian, the Bible says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Hey, we all want that crown of life. We all want to go to heaven. We have to be faithful all the days of our life. And so if you're here this morning, and you never responded to the invitation, you have that opportunity. Now, we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know when Jesus is coming. But right now, we have that opportunity. And we want to extend this song as an invitation. The Lord invites you to come. And if we can help you in any way, please have the courage to respond to the Lord's invitation. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. May God bless each and every one of you. If you need to respond, won't you come right now? It's together. Let us stand and sing.